Commit the United States versus Perez Molina, Mr. Tassif.
At issue before this court is whether the district court's sentence of 34 months should be vacated and this cause remanded for resentencing. Whereas we believe the court did not articulate a compelling justice.
What sentence did you want?
We asked for 10 months, the low end of the guidelines.
I think that requires a certain amount of nerve. 10 months? He's going to treat this as just, you know, it's a cost of doing criminal activity in the United States. Every once in a while you get caught. It's going to be 10 months in some rather nice federal prison. Then back to Mexico for a week. Then back to the United States to commit another series of crimes. Ridiculous. I mean, this is the opposite of the last case. Last case, the punishment is too severe. Here, the punishment you want and the government wants is completely inadequate. So,
and indeed.
I mean, our system must be coming apart, right?
The district court believed that a higher than guideline sentence was appropriate.
The statutory maximum is what? Is 10 years?
20 years.
20 years.
240 months.
Okay, well.
Now, in this instance.
10 years would be a good sentence for him.
For the court.
Otherwise, these people just come back. They just bounce back in. He's going to come. This is his career. His career is committing crimes in the United States.
That was the same argument.
16 months or 10 months.
Well, respectfully, Your Honor, that was the rationale given by the district court in Castro-Juarez. Too many reentries, too many violent crimes. There has to be a higher term of imprisonment imposed. The 48-month term that was imposed in that case was vacated and remanded because
And you explain to me the justification for such a decision.
Because in Castro-Juarez, this court said that the district court.
No, that's the conclusion. You give me what the reason is.
Because there was no basis upon which that number.
Of course, there's a basis. The basis is a person like this is basically is extremely difficult to deter. It's extremely difficult to prevent these continuous reentries by deported people. They come in like yo-yos. And this guy, when he comes in, he commits crimes. So why would there be any basis for wanting leniency for someone like this?
Well, we asked for the 10. The government asked for the 16. The court indicated a desire to impose.
What sense does a sentence of 10 months make for someone like this? Can you stand back and see what a nonsensical position it is?
As defense counsel,
this person is undeterrable by sentence of that length. He'll come right back in. 10 months, back to Mexico, back to the United States.
You do have the ability to just stand on the guidelines, right?
I do. And I did. And the court believed a higher sentence than that.
Guideline in the last case, absurdly over-punitive, and in this case we see a ridiculously lenient guideline.
Well, my duty to my client is to get the best possible result for him that I can. And in this instance, the court obviously desired to impose a higher-than-guideline sentence, but this court and other reviewing courts require that there be a compelling justification.
Well, I just gave you the compelling justification. You haven't answered me.
But
you haven't explained to me why 10 months is adequate to prevent this person from continuing his career as a criminal. You haven't given me a reason. You haven't said anything about him personally or whatever it is. That maybe he's so old now. How old is he?
He's in his early 30s.
And he's not too old for his criminal career.
And his five previous crimes, Your Honor. The five previous crimes that are mentioned on page 6 and 8 of the PSR show that the longest sentence he ever received on his prior crimes was a 45-day sentence for illegal entry.
So Judge McDade recognized that and said only specific deterrence works with this
and
guy.
So as defense, and as defense counsel, I argued for a sentence then that's 10 to 15 times the highest sentence he ever got in an American courtroom. And Judge McDade decided that there was a greater deterrent needed and therefore picked 36 months at the first hearing and then 34 months at the second hearing, proffering 4A1.3 at the first hearing as the basis, proffering the 3553A factors generally at the second hearing. Where did the 34-month sentence, twice the high end of the guideline range, come from? How is it formulated? This case cannot be reconciled. This case certainly falls right within and is almost identical to the rationale given in Castro-Juarez, where this court said that is inadequate and it has to go back for a further explanation by the district court as to how it arrived at that particular sentence.
Under Booker and Kimbrough and Gall, are we still entitled to insist, in essence, on variances that they be explained and structured according to the steps in the guidelines?
This court in Castro-Juarez said that the calibrated analysis of U.S. versus Cross pre-Booker jurisprudence is no longer necessary, but there still has to be an adequate explanation for how a term in excess of the guidelines is arrived at. And I'm not suggesting that there be an exhaustive analysis because this court's cases do not require it. But there's got to be some explanation or basis for showing that if deterrence is the state of ground, as was in this case, how is it then that a 34-month sentence, when the defendant's most serious sentence ever imposed in the United States was but 45 days. We're talking about whether this court can give meaningful appellate review of the basis for that sentence, as well as whether the district court's sentence promotes the appearance of fairness in sentencing. The United States Attorney's Office in our district stands before a court and says 16 months is sufficient but not greater than necessary to achieve all the 3553 factors. And then the court goes almost 2.5 times above that for the only stated grounds of deterrence, prior record, and prior reentries. I respectfully submit that Castro-Juarez says that case has to go back.
It doesn't say that, first of all. And it's been interpreted in Valla much more narrowly. We said in Valla that in the Juarez case, the parties had agreed they were going to use pre-Booker sentencing approach, right?
Indeed, in that case they did.
A major distinction between the Juarez case and the present case.
Agreed. But again, this record is devoid of any basis upon which this court can divine why the 34-month sentence.
Sense, maybe.
Well, respectfully, Your Honor, I ask that this court vacate the sentence and remand.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Tassif. Ms. Mullen?
May it please the Court, Linda Mullen on behalf of the United States. Mr. Tassif says that it's his responsibility as defense counsel to appeal this sentence and to represent his client, and it is my responsibility to my client, I think, to know when to shut up. And
has he served his sentence yet? He's got the law. No. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, here again, we have a properly calculated guidelines range. We have a judge who explained the sentence.
Your request for 16 months, what's that?
I knew I was going to get that question when I stood up here, and again,
yes, but of course,
you mean the government's request.
Personally, right.
Right.
324 months in the last case, 16 months in this case. I don't get it.
Well, and maybe the message.
Someone in your office who sits down once in a while and says, does our pattern of requests make any sense?
And the way that it the
16 months be effective with this person?
I think that in both cases you've raised a good point, and that is, you know, our starting point in our office with prosecutors, everybody's handling their own cases, is that you have the authority to go into a sentencing and recommend anything within the sentencing guidelines range. This is DOJ policy, unless and until you get supervisory approval for something below or above. So those decisions are made by the prosecutors. I talked to this particular prosecutor after the sentencing that day, actually, and when the appeal came in, he was brand new. I think that he was, following what he thought he had been told to do, and thought that a 16-month sentence was appropriate. Again, had very limited experience in our office. I think he'd only been in our office a couple of months when he went into the sentencing. But that's typically how we do it. Now, that's not to say that we shouldn't be taking a closer look at some of these and encouraging prosecutors to exercise broader discretion or go to their supervisors more often and ask for things. But clearly, Judge McDade looked at this person, saw the revolving door that was going on, and not just the repeated illegal reentries, but committing crimes while he was here, and knew that he needed to impose a sentence to get this particular defendant's attention. So we would ask that this court affirm Judge McDade. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and thank you to Mr. Tassef for your effort. You were appointed, you know. Thank you for your efforts on behalf of your client. And the court will stand in recess.